Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Lovers, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. What a great show today. I have a very creative woman. She's not only an author of several books, but she's also a chef. I wonder if she ever does anything fancy for her kitties. Anyways, I'm so excited for you to meet her. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Samantha Maddox. She is an author and a very artistic individual. Welcome, Samantha.
Welcome, Michelle. It's lovely to be here. Thank you.
I am so excited to have you. You're an author of several books. We're going to talk today about The Magic of Mr. Mishkins, which yes. is just a really good book. But can you share some background on yourself? And I tease people with, you're also a chef. You were on MasterChef UK, which congrats.
Yes.
So give us some background on yourself to share with our audience.
Lovely. So hi, everybody. Yes, so I'm Samantha. I live in beautiful Norfolk in very sunny England. And I've grown up with my cats all my life. I've been blessed to have four familiars, as I like to call them, Minsky, Merlin, and now Mishkins. And it's Mishkins who's turned into this star of this children's book series. I've always had my cats with me. I could not bear to be without them. They just bring so much. And I think anyone who says, oh, I don't like cats, has never actually lived with one, because they're the most comforting, in tune spirit animals I think anyone can ever have. And yes, I was on MasterChef in 2019, MasterChef UK. And yes, the cats do get some very special treats from time to time. They do have their favourites, and they do have some interesting tastes sometimes as well. Merlin, my old cat, he liked apricot jam on toast.
He likes what?
Apricot jam on toast.
See, your lovely accent compared to my, I don't know, my Yankee one. apricot jam on toast. Well, that's fancy. Have you ever cooked like a chef meal for your cats?
Not quite, but Mishkins does have he loves prawns. He really, really loves prawns. And I have a great fishmonger. And every time I go in, he gives Mishkins some prawns. So that's his treat. And we've actually got launch day for the book next Friday. So Mishkins is going to have a little prawn platter, probably. Maybe there's some, he loves rainbow trout as well. So a little fishy platter for him.
Oh, fancy. Okay, your book, The Magic of Mr. Mishkins, is actually going to be released on August 8th, even though this show might be a little bit later. And that is actually International Cat Day.
Yes, I thought it was a great idea to, everyone is away in August. August is quite it's known as silly season in the press. There's nothing really going on. But to tie a children's book in that's all about cats with International Cat Day, it just seemed perfect to me.
Oh, yes. So how did the idea of The Magic of Mr. Mishkins come to you?
Okay, so I had, as mentioned, I had my lovely Merlin cat, who was the most beautiful cat. He was a long-haired, black, moggy cat with green eyes. And he was born at some stables just down the road. So he was just a farm cat, and that's where I found him and took him home. And he was my everything. And unfortunately, he had cancer, and he died in 2021. And we did everything we could to save him, and we did manage to extend his life beyond what the vet said was possible. They gave him 3 months, and I kept him going for 7. And when he died, I was, understandably, as all listeners know, absolutely bereft. And when he died, I said he was sliding down rainbows with glitter coming out of his tail. And that kept me going. And I was just so lonely. I live with my family and we have family cats. But as I said, I've always had my own familiar, my own cat. I was so unhappy not having my own cat. I started looking, but 2021 was lockdown. And I don't know what it was like in America.
But
in England, it was nigh on impossible to get a cat from a sanctuary, which is where we've always got all our cats from. And I know you promote that a lot. And, you know, I think that's the best place to go and find your cat. But I just, it was just impossible. So I ended up actually buying Mishkins. I knew I wanted a ginger cat because they are such characters. And I'd always had black cats before. And the night before I picked him up, I thought, I was playing with the name and I was going, Minsky, Minsky, Merlin, Minsky, blah, 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 Mishkins. And I said to my family, I'm going to call him Mishkins. And if the name suits him, I'm going to write a children's book about him. And he's going to run an apothecary. And it was as simple as that. And I picked him up and I looked at him and went, yes, you're Mishkins. And the most curious thing, we got him home. He was an 8-week-old kitten. We got him home, and most kittens, when you bring them home, they're all a little bit scared, aren't they? They run around and they hide and they were, oh my gosh, where am I? What's going on? And I put him on the blanket next to me and he just lay down. He looked at me, crossed his front paws, sighed and just went to sleep. Wow. I've never had that before.
That's incredible. So Mishkins is a ginger and he is the protagonist, the star of, this is the second book. First book was Mr. Mishkins Apothecary, and this one is The Magic of Mr. Mishkins. You already told us a little about why you decided to write the book, but why did you want to make a cat the protagonist of the story?
When I grew up, my favorite book was Gobelino the Witch's Cat, and I loved reading that. And yes, it's a sad story and everything else, but most children's books are quite sad in many ways. Think about Beauty. And I just always wanted to write about my cats, I suppose. And it was a great way to honour all the cats who I've had before, because every single cat who appears in the book is real. So all my previous cats are in there. Minsky, Minsky, Merlin, they're the magical M cats who come to save the day when things go wrong. And they all float around on different cushions with glitter coming out of them, because why not have glitter coming out of a cushion for a cat? And it was just, I don't know, I just really wanted, I know children relate to children, but sometimes, especially post-COVID, life can be very isolating. And I think if you have an animal, the bond that you have with an animal, especially if you're an only child, that bond you have with them is everything. And I've had this most amazing feedback from parents since the first book was published. And one mother, her son is autistic, ADHD, dyslexic, and PDA. And her son, you know, he very much keeps himself to himself. He's very friendly, but he can't read. And he would get very frustrated because he couldn't read. He hated being read to because he couldn't read. They tried all the different texts that are meant to help with you autistic children. He still struggled with those. But he loves cats. And that's the thing. Children just love their animals. So she got him Mr. Mishkins Apothecary. And she managed to read him the whole chapter, which she's never done before. And the next day he came from home from school and said, can you read me some more, please? And that's the first time in his whole life he'd ever asked to be read to. He never wanted to be read to before. And that's now his favourite book. Well, book day, he dressed up as Mishkins to go into school with. And that kind of thing, that bond, that unique bond that children have with their animals, that's, I think, why I wanted the main star to be the cats.
You know, I think cats are more associated with magic and mystic and all of that than dogs.
Yes, they are. And I think, dogs just tend to plod along and they are very lovely. And I do have a little dog character in The Magic of Mr. Mishkins. I was staying with a friend in California and she had a gorgeous miniature schnauzer called Nero. I was with her for 2 weeks and I didn't miss Mishkins while I was away because I had this lovely little schnauzer sat on my lap all the time and just loving me. So I thought I need to put him in the book as well. And he's going to have his own spin-off series, Nero the Hero. I just love the fact there's this great scene in the book where Nero is outside the apothecary, Mishkins is inside, and one takes 2 steps forward, the other 2 steps back, and then Nero goes into the shop, the apothecary, and he says, but you're a cat. And Mishkins says, yes, but you're a dog. That doesn't mean we can't be friends. And I think that's a really good lesson for everybody in life.
Yes, yes, it is. I wanted to ask you, if Michigan's was a specific breed, but you gave a hint at the very end of the book. And I want to tell you, I did guess. I had a feeling he was probably part Maine Coon because he was so tall.
Yes.
So one of my cats is part Maine Coon. He's not that big, but he's super friendly.
Michigan's is the most loving cat I think I've ever had. And I've had some very, very loving cats. My first cat, Minsky, was basically my babysitter because I was born in the 70s before the intercoms were developed. So my mum would know I was crying upstairs because Minsky would leave my bedroom and go down and meow at my mum until she heard me. So I've always had this amazing bond with cats, but Michigan's is something else. I think it's that the ginger Maine Coon combination has just made him, I don't know, the bond I have with him is just so strong. And he's very happy today. He's in the office with me. He is so happy today. That's why he spent the whole night in my bedroom for the first night ever, because there was something going on in the house. And he was so happy. He was just like the cat who got the cream. He was like, I'm with my mum all night and I'm on her bed. And this is just perfect. He did not stop purring. He was very happy. And today he's very tired.
All the excitement of the show, gearing up for it. The apothecary. Does that have any significance other than it's the home for all the cats? And I know it's magical. It comes and it goes away. But does that have any specific significance?
Not necessarily. I suppose in many ways I'm quite old fashioned. And, you know, as I said, I mean, Gobellino was my favourite cat growing up, you know, who lived in the hearth. And I don't know where the apothecary came from. It just came to me. And it's not really a word that certainly many people these days are so familiar with, but especially children. So it's always actually, it's a great conversation opener right from the get-go, because everyone's like, well, what's an apothecary? And I'm really lucky, I'm actually doing the book launch in an old apothecary up in North Norfolk next week. And it's still got all the original apothecary drawers in there. And like, maybe it was the drawers that drew me to it, because I thought I can have the cats living in the drawers. But yeah, it's a strange choice, but it just worked.
I love them. And I want one of those pieces of furniture with lots of drawers. They also look like, to me, old, and some people might not know what I'm talking about, but old library card catalogs.
Oh, lucky.
You know, with all those bunches of drawers. I don't know. It's one of my dreams to get one. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to author Samantha Maddox. She is the author of several books, including The Magic of Mr. Michigan's. So, Samantha, you told us about one story with the book, how there was a child that wasn't very interested, and his mother read him the book, and he wanted another chapter and another. Did you have any other surprises from people that read the book that you were thought, wow, that's really great that that happened? And also, what age group is the book for?
So yes, I do have some surprises. And I always say the book is 7 to 11, but it all depends, because I have people buying it for their 4-year-old children or reading it to them, because the book is fully illustrated. I think, as I said, COVID has changed the way that children read. And I think to go straight from a picture chapter book to just a plain textbook is it's a step too far for some children now. And so I've kind of bridged this gap and probably made my unique market in doing so. But it does work. So I had the feedback I've had. The surprising one, actually, is I've got parents buying it for their 20, 30-year-old children, but for who English is not their first language. And they're learning to read English through this book, because obviously it's a lot easier being a children's book than it is, you know, some heavy text from a newspaper, for example. And I've also had a parent who's, she was a 14-year-old and she hated reading, really, really hated reading. And no, I'm sorry, she was 12 at the time. She's now 14. She was 12 at the time. She absolutely hated reading, had literacy lessons at school because she just hated it. And she'd come home, they said, "Oh, how was the reading today?" And she'd go, "Ooh, fine," and go upstairs to her room. They got her a copy of Mr. Michigan's Apocryphe. She took it into school, started reading that in literacy classes. And she'd come home and they'd say, "How was it?" She said, "Oh, my word, it was amazing. There were cats coming out of drawers. And I know that thunder is just Jasper jumping down a mountain. And it's really, really exciting. And there's rainbows and there's butterflies. There's all these cats." And she was really animated by it. And she no longer needs extra literacy lessons. Plus, her dad actually contacted me the other day and said, "I now have to buy my daughter a book every week at least because she's now reading so voraciously." And to be able to do that, to inspire that gift of reading in a child, that's, for me, that's magic. That's everything. That's it. You know, all the money in the world would not compare to how that feels, to have turned on that light bulb in a child and enabled them to fall in love with reading, because reading can just take you to so many different places. And yes, I've got the Apocryphe realm, but it can take that child all over the world in the future and just open up their imaginations. Mm-hmm. For me, that's what it's all about.
I absolutely agree with you. I've been a voracious reader since I was a child. I can't imagine not reading. And I was doing some research one day, and reading has other benefits. It helps with vocabulary, imagination, and there's probably more that if you research, you could find out, but it's, I don't know. I started reading digitally. I generally have a queue, you know, of like 8 books at a time sometimes. It's kind of nuts, but I think it's amazing. So thank you for sharing that story. How does the second book differ from the first one?
That's a good question. I think people have met Mr. Michigan's in book one. They know him a little bit better. They know more of the story of the Apocryphe, so they can follow it better. But it also reads well as a standalone book, because I've had people read it this time through beta readers and societies I'm members of, and they've not read the first book and they've gone, "Oh my word, this is amazing." So it's, you don't have to have read the first one, which I think is actually quite useful. It's a lot deeper as well. We learn a lot more about Mr. Michigan's himself in this book. We share that the real Mr. Michigan's has got the hip dyspraxia that Maine Coon cats can sometimes have. And that's why, you know, Michigan's, we have 5 cats, and Michigan's will spend his day outside in the office with me because he can't run around all day. He gets tired. He ends up in pain. But he chooses his moments. He will go and have a hoolie, as we call a Zoom time. And then he goes, "Yes, I need to sleep now and just rest." And we learn that about Mr. Michigan's. There's a bit more we learn about the Apocryphe in this book as well, and what's actually inside the drawers. It's kind of a bit of a secret at the start. And then a child actually jumps into the drawers and goes running off because he doesn't want to be told what to do. And so we learn a little bit more about that, and that the Apocryphe basically is this massive thing of feelings and emotions, and only the cats can control them, which I quite like, actually.
Another thing, and I don't know why this, I didn't think of this before, but another thing with reading is that there's a lot of it, sometimes even, and this is a fiction book, of course, but there's a lot of hidden messages. So you spoke of, you know, Mr. Michigan's with hip dysplasia. So, you know, people know that children reading it can learn, you know, people have different ailments and it's okay. And, you know, the different value of that message. I also love that each chapter has a message that's dealt with.
Yes, which, I do that. In the first book, I was a little bit more scientific in the first book. And you know, people say, "No, I don't like clouds. I can't see the sun. Fed up because I can't see the sun." So I'd put in just little scientific facts about why we have clouds and what they do, what causes lightning and things such as that. So that was quite interesting. This one has got a bit more of, the second book, The Magic Of, has got a bit more of a, it's dark as in nighttime skies, stars, the moon. The moon's a bit of a fixation in this book. And just last Friday, I did some planning on book 3, which will be called The Kindness of Mr. Michigan's. And I've got the little under theme current that's going to run through that one as well. So it's very subtle, but it's there. And it's, I love it because children see things that, as we as adults so often miss. So I think just by putting some little extra things in there, they will pick up on it a lot more than we would. And I do think that's a fun thing to do.
Yes, I love the subtle messages, but there is also obvious. Each chapter has a different message. You know, there's a child with loneliness, one, a child's bored.
There's one who's scared of the dark.
Scared of the dark, yes. And
bump in the night, the creatures that live under your bed.
Right, bump in the...
That's one of my favorite lines is, everybody, so something along the lines of, everybody knows that if you have your teddy bear over your shoulder looking at the door, then no monster can come into your room. And that's something I believed as a child, if my teddy bear was there. And it's just trying to remember how I felt as a child and tap into that a little bit. But the lonely chapter is interesting because we got adopted by a cat last year, Ricky, because again, all the cats in the book are real. And he went on the run. He went missing from he was staying with his in-laws, and he escaped and was on the run for 18 months.
Wow.
Very long 18 months. Ended up in our garden, and he was here for about 6 months before he finally said, you know what? I can't run anymore. Can you please look after me? And he's the loveliest, loveliest cat. And he's a very smart grey with a white tuxedo with brilliant green eyes. And as soon as we got him, I'm like, he has to be a chapter in the book. And he has to be lonely because he must have been so lonely. You know, a cat to survive for 18 months living in the countryside with foxes and dogs and farm traffic and everything else. You know, he did really well.
Yes, and that's a long time.
It is. He's so loving. And we did track down his original owners. They know that we have him. They now have a Japanese Sharpie dog. So they said that we can't have him back, but they're in touch all the time. They see all the pictures and they know that he's got a loving home and you know, so they're happy too.
Oh, wonderful. You talked about the illustrations briefly, but they are truly amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about the illustrator? I believe her name, Gerda Smit.
Gerda Smit, yes. So Gerda she's wonderful. She's South African and I was in the UK, obviously, looking for an illustrator. I hadn't spoken on anywhere on social media that I was looking for an illustrator, but I knew exactly what I wanted and also what I didn't want. I didn't want a pencil drawing. I didn't want a cartoon. I wanted something really unique and wonderful. And she does these amazing watercolors. And she was just looking, she's told me herself since, she was just looking for all children's book authors. And she followed me and Mr. Mishkins on Instagram. And I was like, oh, let's have a look at her. And she'd done this otter. It's an otter story. It's very big in South Africa. And the expression on the otter's face, it was exactly what I wanted. So we got in touch. We worked together for the first one. And she sent me this amazing message afterwards about how that came to a certain point in time in her life and picked her up. And I think that's the magic of Mishkins. He healed my heart after I lost Merlin. It's helped Gerda at where she was in her life. And then we've just done book two. And there's a wonderful picture in there. I don't know if you remember. It's when Celine is, I don't want to say too much because it's a bit of a giveaway. But it's the one where she's dancing with the Siamese cat around her. You might know which one I mean.
I think so.
And Gerda sent me a message and she said, thank you for reaching for the stars and taking me to the moon with you. And we've got such a wonderful friendship now. And I've just literally yesterday received all the original artwork for book two. So she's taken it down from her studio. She sent it from South Africa. So I've got all the original A3 watercolours, which will go in the book, which then goes to the launch. And they're so, so special. And we both feel a bit bereft because this one's finished, but we know that book three will be coming as soon as I write it.
And I'm going to ask you about book three. But first, can you tell us about Mr. Mishkin's charitable donations?
Yes. So I very much believe in giving things back because I'm so grateful for every single person who goes and buys my book. And lots of people, the book costs £13.99. Lots of people give me £14 and say, keep the change. Some people give me £15 and say, keep the change. And then I also got some stickers done for him as well, which people could just make a donation to. So he has this big ginger, it's an actual tin in the shape of a ginger cat. So people just put their money in there. And the last year he donated twice. One was to, I've sort of saved it all up and then rounded it up as well with some more from me. And he donated to the very local Cats Protection, which actually is where we got one of our cats from when I was about 8 years old. And then he's also donated to Ernesto's Cat Sanctuary, which is in Syria. And they've literally rescued thousands and thousands of cats who were abandoned after the war. And they actually got bombed themselves in October. And every single cat was safe because they had a safe place. They knew where to go. They knew where to hide. And they've got so many gingers there as well. It's lovely. So he sent some money off to them too. He sent quite a nice donation to them. And he'll be doing the same this year.
Oh, wonderful. It's always nice to give back.
It is. It's so important. And there, but for the grace of God, as I always say, go any of us. And if he can help out some cats somewhere along the way by his words and his magic, because he's the one telling the story, really, not me, then so much the better.
Oh, yes. Now, we've talked about, you told us about the book, and it has to be Mr. Michigan's, the third book has to be written yet. When can listeners expect to see the new book out?
So The Magic of Mr. Michigan's is out, as we've said, on the 8th of August, International Cat Day. I would actually really like, if it goes well, for the next one to be the next International Cat Day. And I think realistically, a year is a good amount of time because it has to be illustrated and the layout, and it does take time to do. And I'd like to get the draft done by the end of this year. But Friday I half wrote it in my head anyway. So we're probably a little bit further along than I thought I would be. Cats give so much, and all animals give so much, dogs and rabbits. I think as a companion, I think if your child has a pet when they are young, I think it makes them a very, very rounded human being. Not naming him, but I had an ex and he never had any animals growing up, and he was very cold. And we have horses as well, Arabian horses. And in our house, the order is you feed the horses first and then you feed the cats and then the humans come last. And his way was always like, you do the humans first. It's like, no, they're here because of us. We have to do them first. And I think if you grow up surrounded by animals, loving an animal, I do think it makes you a little bit more of a rounded human being. That's what I believe.
I think you're right. Where can our audience and all of our listeners buy Mr. Michigan's books for themselves, for their friends? Where can they buy their own book?
So the best place is MrMishkins.com. MISHKINS, and Mr. is spelled properly MISTER, because he's a very oldie-worldy cat, so he had to be Mr. So yeah, MrMissions.com. There is a limited edition hardback as well, but you can find both books on there. Plus, you can read all about the different cats and their inspirations. It is on Amazon.co.uk. I'm trying to get it onto Amazon.com. Mr. Michigan's apocryphal is on Amazon.com, but I'm just having a I will get it sorted for The Magic of Mr. Michigan's to be on Amazon.com as well. But MrMichigans.com is the best place.
Okay. I want to thank you so much, Samantha, for coming on Catitude and sharing your book, The Magic of Mr. Michigan's. And I am very excited. Can't wait for it to come out.
Thank you so much for having me on, Michelle. It's a really beautiful podcast. I've been listening to them, and you share so much and you do so much for the feline community. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. I hope you all enjoyed the show. I want to thank my guest, Samantha Maddox, for joining us from Esalen in the USA, across the pond. Very delighted to have her on. This book is incredible. It's a lovely story, and the illustrations are just incredible. The Magic of Mr. Michigan's. I read it to my cat crew, actually, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly, and Dennis was beaming because, you know, Mr. Michigan's is part Maine Coon, and so is Dennis. So he had a friend in the book, so it was really fun. I'd like to thank everyone listening to Catitude. Thank you so much. I appreciate your loyalty. And of course, thank you to my producer, Mark Winter, because the show would not be the same without him. And remember, lose the attitude. Have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.